I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderroot artist feature. I have the pleasure today of talking with painter Jonathan Welsh. Jonathan, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Glad you could be here today, Jonathan. Always a pleasure to talk to a lot of the great artists that we have here in Atlanta. Where'd you grow up?
I kind of bounced around Atlanta. I started out in Hapeville and then East Point, and then I ended up in right outside in Douglasville. Spent most of my time growing up there.
What was it like growing up down there in South Fulton County versus Atlanta, the city, quote unquote?
I mean, I was really young at the time, so when you're that young, you don't understand all the sort of cultural and racial divides and stuff like that. So, I mean, for me, it was great. I was a kid. I was having fun. You know, you go out and I could walk to school, and I played t-ball down there in one of the, you know, the little fields, and it was awesome.
As an adult, how do you look at that part of the city now versus when you were a kid?
Yeah, it's different now. It's funny because I recently drove back through there just to see the old house, and it's definitely different. I think it's not as developed anymore. It's sort of run down. I think some of the money that was there has left, and I don't know the school too that I used to go to has now changed into I think it's a Board of Education building now. So, you know, things are changing. It's not quite the same as it used to be. You sort of see some of the sadness that's there now that you kind of miss as a kid.
What does it mean to you to be an Atlanta artist?
It means you have to, you got to fight for it, I think, because I think everybody in Atlanta, we sort of feel like we're the underdog in the art world right now. I think we all know we have potential to be great, and we have a lot of great ideas here. So I think that's what it's about, being an underdog, and that means having to fight and to strive to be better all the time.
How do you judge where you are in your art practice?
It's tough. I think you just have to see where you sort of exist amongst other artists in your field or in your community. That's the main reason. You sort of look out and you see where is everybody else? What are they doing? What sort of projects are happening? Am I involved in that? Do I have something lined up down the road?
And when it comes to maybe that art energy or that conversation, if you see something that interests you, how do you begin that conversation, whether it's through a conversation or through your work?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to approach people and just get it started. You just have to say hello and this is what I do, and I really love what's happening here. And it's more organic too. It just sort of, you sort of build a dialogue. You don't just jump right into a, hey, I want to do this. So that's pretty much how I approach it. I want to be a friend and approach it from that versus like a business model.
I noticed in a lot of your work, there seems to be, to me, a sense of solitude.
Yeah, there's a lot of solitude. A lot of single figures by themselves, or in sort of empty spaces.
Right.
Yeah, there's something I think that's profound about sort of the singularity, it's like a meditation almost, I think. So it's, you're by yourself, alone, sort of surrounded by your own thoughts. And I always sort of like that feeling.
So is that something that comes from you personally, or is that just in your art, in your artwork?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's, I think all art is personal. No matter what you're doing, even if you're sort of engaging, politics or some sort of social activism or anything that you're sort of approaching, it's still coming from you. So it has your bias, your feelings, your slant, whatever it is. So yeah, I think it comes from me.
But in comparing you to the work, do you meditate a lot, or do you take a lot of time to find that isolation to then contemplate?
Yeah. I'm a pretty independent person. So I think as artists in general, you just spend a lot of time by yourself, reflecting, and we're sort of internal people. We think and yeah, so I find myself a lot of times, by myself, sort of lost in my own head.
So when it's time to collaborate, what's that process like of taking a lot of these isolated thoughts that you have in your own head and finding a way to share those and create some group energy in terms of a collaboration?
Yeah, that can be difficult at times, because you know, you have a lot of ideas, and everybody's got some strong opinions about their visions and how they see things. So I think I just approach it where I try to absorb it. So I try to absorb what that other person or group is thinking about or wants to do. And then I take it with me and I say, well, how can I incorporate that? So I just have to digest it. I spend a lot of time surrounding myself with that, and then I sort of take it back with me and by myself sort of translate it into my own work.
When did you know that you were going to be an artist?
Oh man. I think I kind of always knew that art was important and would probably always be a part of my life. I think when I first knew that I wanted to sort of really pursue the art of being an artist and making a profession of it was probably in my early 20s. I kind of knew I was working a dead end job and, you know, just miserable. And I always had art, but it was always sort of it was just like a hobby or just something that I did on the side. And I just made the decision, like, I'm going back to school. I'm going to get some training and that's it. I'm going to make this happen.
What was that moment like? Because I think for a lot of artists, they may have been creative their whole lives, but at some point there's a moment when they make a decision. So what was that moment like for you?
It's kind of like jumping off a ledge, really. You kind of work yourself up to the ledge. You get there and you hang out on the ledge for a long time. You're just scared. You're unsure of yourself, and then you just do it. You know, something just clicks and it happens, and it's really cathartic. Really, it's like making that decision and just sort of choosing that path, and it's no turning back. It feels good. It's a great feeling.
Did you have to get to a point where you could claim the word artist, being able to say, "Hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm an artist"? Did you have to have a similar workup to that point?
Yeah, there is. I mean, because you're always sort of unsure if you sort of fit the word, and I'm not there yet, or my work's not there yet. But yeah, at a certain point, You just have to own it, and once you do that, your life starts reflecting that. I think your actions, your choices, will start to mirror, you know, your idea of an artist. You sort of have to fake it till you make it, you know.
Speaking about decisions, and you made the decision to go back to school to help you in your career. What did you learn in school that maybe confirmed what you already knew about your art practice or the art world in which you reside?
School was great for a lot of reasons and not so great for some others, but and everybody I think has a different experience there, but I think for me, it was great to just be in a community, because up to that point, I didn't really have a lot of art friends or people that were sort of actively engaged in making art full time. So being around those people and having the feedback and the sort of, you know, they tell you that what you're doing is valid. And so that I think that really sort of cemented it for me, like, okay, I'm doing something right here.
How has your art process changed since maybe going to school and now afterwards? What happened as far as your art practice or maybe how you approach your art?
Yeah, I think coming out of school, you have to develop, you just have to know your process, how you're going to, especially for a painter, it's all about process. You have to find your subject, and in a lot of ways, so you have to maybe shoot your subject. So you have to sort of organize your life and get it together. And then it's just about managing your time. And so those sort of processes have changed, I think, since coming out of school. Cause back then it was just, you just sort of made art, whenever you could. So now I sort of structure my week. So I have days where I'm in the studio. I schedule time to be there and to make the work.
When are you at your best as an artist?
I think I'm at my best when I sort of let go. When I'm sort of making work unconsciously and just sort of letting the brush move itself. I think that's when the best work happens, when I don't think about it too much.
When do you know when you're finished with the work?
I'm never finished. I'm finished when it has to go up on another wall somewhere in a gallery or in a show. I will work on it until the very last second, and then if I get it back, I'll work on it again. So for painting, it's never done. I mean, for me, sometimes I just have to abandon it.
And as a painter, how do you approach getting to know or getting to research different materials and working within those materials, learning new things? How do you learn about your materials over time or as you try to incorporate new things?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like learning any skill, or it's like learning to play a guitar. You know, you learn a couple strings or chords, and then you sort of advance on to other. You just sort of build your knowledge base. So, you know, when I first started painting, I didn't know anything about brush types or mediums or the different types of paint. I kind of had a general idea, but I didn't really know. So once you start really putting in the time to learn your materials, you just start picking up things. You might run across another artist that's working with something that's sort of unique, and you just talk to them about it, or go online, investigate, and then it's just about spending some time in the studio playing with it and seeing what happens.
What's your take on how the Atlanta art community has grown since you've been here?
Man, it's leaps and bounds, it feels like, since I was first introduced into the community. And that part of that could just be my own a lack of participating before, and maybe I'm just so engaged with it now it feels like a lot is happening. But it really feels like the energy is here, a lot of young people, a lot of, you know, nonprofits and pop-up gallery stuff is happening around here. The like Elevate is happening. It seems like the city seems more engaged with the art. But yeah, it just seems like it just keeps growing and growing, and more opportunities are opening up for especially young artists, emerging artists, which I think is great, because we really need that.
Where is that line between emerging and established? What happens there?
I think traditionally it comes down to how long and how much attention has been paid to your work. And, I mean, you can be 60 years old and still be an emerging artist, but I think it relates to who you're associated with institution wise and, who's shown your work and the type of practice that you have, really.
And as we wrap up, give me two or three places in Atlanta that inspire you, creatively or even personally.
Wow. Man, there's so many great places. I really love coming up off of Freedom Parkway, as you're going south off the exit, I really love the view of the city there. Just something about it. Every time I see it, it's just great. And then maybe Crog Tunnel. I mean, just being an artist, I think everybody here, there's a special place for Crog Tunnel, in my heart, because it's just that creative spot that everybody knows about. But yeah, I think those two, something about those two spaces inspires me.
Jonathan Welch, let everyone know how they can get in contact with you and find out more about your work.
So you can visit me at my site. It's www.jonathanwelch.com. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm there a lot. So come see me there. Yeah, and that's it. Instagram, hit me up on Instagram for sure.
Jonathan, thank you.
Thanks, man.